Pogarty.
Hey, Ben Lawrence, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Oh, all right. I'm not doing anything other than talking to you. Look at me, I called you on time. I don't have any other events planned. I want you to feel special, Ben.
That's great. That's, that's what's happening. Hang on a sec.
Wait, what? Oh, see, now you're doing something else. That's fine. Has to be one of us.
Hey, so speaking of doing other things, I'm going to have you do something for me today.
Oh, okay. What am I doing?
All right. So you have your recorder, right? And it's powered on. It's got batteries and everything.
I do. Yeah. Right. Yes, I do.
So let me explain what's happening. Okay. The next episode of The Panel Jumper is actually a two-parter. And we're going to show it at the Panel Jumper Live, which is happening April 14th, 8 p.m. at West of Lennon. Buy your tickets at brownpapertickets.com.
And that's brown paper tickets, not ground pepper tickets, if that's what you heard. So what's up?
Okay, what so are you familiar with the whole Jason Todd phone-in campaign from, I don't know, like the mid-80s?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So we're talking about that story. And in part one of this episode of The Panel Jumper, these two cosplayers take Manager Mike and his nephew Steve hostage in the store. And so we're going to have the audience vote on whether or not Manager Mike and nephew Steve live or die. And we're actually filming both outcomes. And we're going to show that, whichever outcome gets the most votes, in Act Two. But at the beginning of the part two, there's a small voiceover that goes, "Previously on The Panel Jumper," and I want to have you record that for me.
All right.
So we'll just do this sentence by sentence because I didn't email it to you because I just thought of this like right before you called. So
And
I want this to be like an old like 60s Batman's TV announcer. "Previously on The Panel Jumper, mayhem intrigue."
Yep.
You ready? All right. So the first sentence is what I just said. "Previously on The Panel Jumper, mayhem, intrigue."
"Previously on The Panel Jumper, mayhem, intrigue."
That was great. Make sure you're not peeking on your recorder there.
Oh, geez. All right. Let me try it again.
Okay.
I don't think I was, but I held it a little bit away. "Previously." Yeah, okay. I'm good. "Previously on The Panel Jumper, mayhem, intrigue."
Great. "Will Manager Mike and nephew Steve be freed?"
"Will Manager Mike and nephew Steve be freed?"
"Will Batman get to the comic book store in time to save them?"
"Will Batman get to the comic store in time to save them?"
Give me one more, but it's comic book store.
What did I say, comic store?
Just comic store.
Say one more time. Give me the line.
"Will Batman get to the comic book store in time to save them?"
"Will Batman get to the comic book store in time to save them?"
"The choice was up to you, and the choice has been made."
"The choice was up to you, and the choice has been made."
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
All right, that's great. Thank you.
Awesome.
I think that's all I need.
No problem.
Yay.
Why? Hey, we're working together again.
Yay. Hey, we need to come up with something for the June Spin the Bottle.
Okay, are we doing the American Doctor Who thing?
That's right. We already talked about that. Yeah. How do you want to do that? You want me to write something up and send it to you, or do you want to come up with something?
Yeah. Write something and send it to me, and then I'll write back, "Hey, what about this?" like we do sometimes.
Right.
And then I was thinking I would just use my my iPhone SE to record it because the camera on it is pretty good.
It is. These little iPhone cameras are actually better than the cameras we filmed both seasons of Cherub with.
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
It's crazy. We got these things. Oh, speaking about crazy, Ben.
Paul.
Before you called.
Yes.
I ate the best vegan eggs I'd ever eaten.
That's
they're still horrible.
It's crazy.
But they're the best.
The best of the horribleness.
Yes, exactly. And they're like 40 calories only, and I don't know, it's weird.
How many calories are regular eggs?
I don't know, more than 40. I don't know how many. How many calories are regular eggs? Call in.
Ben's email at yahoo.com at gmail.com.
Oh my gosh. By the way, there's a podcast that's older than ours.
Okay.
Jennifer just told me about that. She found out it's called, hey Jennifer, what's the name of that podcast that you listen to now? The new one? What's the name of the podcast you're listening to now?
Oh, Local Anesthetic.
It's called Local Anesthetic. It's some guys in the UK who talk about local stories.
And
okay.
I gotta tell you something. I can't believe that their title hasn't been bought from them, because it's called the LA Podcast.
It's called the LA Podcast.
Okay.
So that's interesting. Here's the thing. There's an email address that you can write to them at. And Jennifer, what is that email address again?
Email at lapodcast.net@gmail.com.
There are no original ideas.
I think these guys are like our spiritual people. They've had it since 2012.
Ah, yes. That is.
I'll tell you what. I've had it since 2012. Know what I'm saying? Thanks, Obama. Hey, wait a second. Really, thanks, Obama.
Thanks, Obama.
Thank you, Obama. Thanks.
There was a...
Let's see. Today, yeah. No more Meals on Wheels and no more children's lunches.
Yes.
Yay!
I believe Paul Ryan actually was caught saying, we're doing everything we can to destroy the healthcare system. What he meant was Obamacare, but what he said was the healthcare system. And you know what? He's right.
Yeah, here's the thing. And, you know, we all like to joke around and have fun on here. But let me bring everybody down for a second.
Yeah,
bring us down. What it is, Ben.
What is it?
This new healthcare system, what it's all about? It's all about patient choice, they say. Patient choice.
I was just talking.
So you can choose to either bankrupt yourself buying healthcare that you can't afford.
Right.
Or you can choose to bankrupt yourself by not having any health care. And the choice is yours.
I was just talking to Blair about this last night, because we watched the latest Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. And he was talking about the new health care bill and how all the Republicans are saying, you have a choice, you have a choice. And how you and I have been talking about how the Republicans are using that very specific language. So when you get sick and go bankrupt and or die, well, you made the wrong choice.
That is correct. We have been saying this for a while, and looks like have other people caught on to it, Ben? Is that what's happening?
I think other people have caught on to it, now it's, you know, the whole repeal and replace, well, repeal, is becoming an almost sure reality. Still has to pass the Senate, but before it was just an abstract idea, even after the Republicans took control of Congress and the presidency.
So the idea is repeal it first and then replace it? Is that the idea?
That was the idea.
We got to get rid of this, and then later on there will be something else.
Well, see, there's... I don't remember what state he was from, but there was a congressman who was talking about the whole repeal and replacing, and he's like, Obamacare is like a goat in my house, and I want to remodel my house, but I can't remodel it while the goat's in there, so I gotta get that goat out of my house.
Interesting.
And
when you put it like that, that makes a lot of sense. Except that Obamacare isn't a goat.
Obamacare isn't yes.
And healthcare isn't a house.
Obamacare is like being sick, right? It's like having insurance. And so you're sick. So you wanna get better, but you can't kill yourself before you get better. You have to try to get better while you are still sick.
The other idea, I mean, the other side of things is also this. The idea that, I lost it. Ben, I had it. I started thinking about what you were saying.
I know.
That's what most people do, I think.
I don't,
most people Yeah.
I had a better analogy. Listen. I had a better analogy for that when I first heard the goat thing, and I totally forgot what it was. So the whole like being sick and dying thing.
Oh, I remember what it is. It's it's, well, you know, government needs to be run like a business. There's no return on investment in giving food to old people. We're losing money. Yeah, well, yes. So, yeah, that's the idea. The plan is, the way I phrased it was, the worst of us are getting rid of the weakest of us in a way that allows us to kind of still feel like we're moral people. That's the idea. Oh, all the old people and poor children are dying, but it's okay because it's due to the fact that they made bad choices.
Right. They made bad choices, basically. And because of their bad choices, they don't, quote, contribute to our society. And most of them are people of color, and so if you're Rep. Steve King from Iowa, you want to get rid of them.
See, here, now, this is the one thing I'm not sure about. We say that most of them are people of color, but are they? I mean, lot of social services, this is important. A lot of social services are consumed by white people.
A disproportionate number of people of color are affected by being poor because there are fewer opportunities for them. I'm getting my words mixed up. I heard an NPR story about this earlier today.
I understand what you're saying, yes. Yeah. But the thing, and I think that you and I our hearts are both in the right places. We're just arguing two different facts. My fact is that eventually you're going to wake up in the morning, not you, but some guy is going to wake up in the morning and go, I mean, I wanted to get rid of all those welfare folks, but all of a sudden you're cutting off my food stamps? Why is that? And it's like, well, sir, you're part of the whole...
Yeah.
Welfare thing. Did I already give you my spiel about why people want to do charity rather than pay social services?
Why do people want to do charity instead of social services? Whatever.
Because charities are a largely religion based.
Ah.
And if you give money to your charity, you are assured in some way. It may not be true, but you're assured that your charity is going to be giving the money to people that you think deserve it.
Right.
Rather than people that you think will be using it for things that you don't believe in.
Right.
So that's why they want to get the money out of government and put it into charities like that. Now, of course, the thing is that that's probably true for a lot of people. You know, they probably are giving money to places that, like, even if they give it to people who don't, you know, believe in their religion, they are organizations that proselytize to the poor who come to them and things like that. So that's one thing. But I posted something on Twitter, and Ben, you might have read this because I went on about it for a little bit.
Maybe.
But it is...
I don't really read those multi-thread tweets.
The worst app in the world that I have conceived that someone else is going to make a lot of money on, and whoever does is going to be a horrible, horrible person.
And what is that?
It's an app that allows you, a rich person, to decide which poor people get to go through your garbage. The idea is that all of your garbage, and not just you know, refuse and stuff like that, but like all your cast off stuff, it's like free cycle but for assholes.
Well, yeah, but I mean, here the problem with your with this app is that these poor people are not going to be able to access their apps because they had to buy health insurance instead of the iPhone they're using.
Oh no, they aren't going to be using iPhones, and they're not going to be using libraries either because the libraries are gone. The idea.
Reading is a progressive liberal plot.
When this comes to fruition, Ben, I'm sure that you probably already know this. The poor will not have access to the internet anymore. Only rich people will have access to the internet. The way that you get to go through the rich people's garbage is you have to show up at the location and stand in a line. Present your thumbprint or whatever other form of identification you have, and then answer a lengthy questionnaire about your religious and political practices. And then finally,
take a drug
test.
They'll
tell you which bins you can go into.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Take a drug test. Sure.
Yeah.
Probably. And the reason, and this is the thing, the reason I think it will work, and the reason why it's horrible, is because that's kind of how people are treating healthcare. I'll pay for your healthcare through charity as long as you believe the same things I do, and I know that you're not going to be using it, and I know that no one is going to get to do stuff that I don't want them to with my money. It's my money. I don't want to give it up, that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's...
So, I'm not doing it because I'm not horrible, but I really think it would catch on because you're denying people access to something, and folks love that. If I get it and you don't get it, it makes me the better person if that's how you decide if somebody's better or not.
That's how I feel better about myself.
Yeah, exactly.
When I have things you can't have.
And that's the big thing is that if you can't feel good about yourself by raising yourself up, you lower everyone else and then you feel good. You know?
Yeah.
I get to listen to the new Wu-Tang Clan album and you don't because I bought it or whatever.
Right.
It's so...
So we're staring down the barrel of a dystopian future, is what
we have been for a while, Ben. That's the thing, is that you and I have been talking
about
this.
Now somebody's fingers on the trigger.
Well, yeah, but you know what I mean. And this is the thing that I've been thinking about lately. Now you can go back through these podcasts, dear listener.
Good God, but why would you
to
want
me
to?
Complain about the Clinton campaign, you know, with the five representatives being picked and all that kind of stuff, and how I didn't like it, but I still voted for her. And the thing is, I think most people did who were in the tank for Bernie. I think most people, in my anecdotal evidence,
idea.
Right?
Yeah.
Anecdotal meaning everybody that I know. Everybody did. I don't know of a single person in my acquaintance who was going to vote for Bernie Sanders who did not vote for Hillary Clinton.
I know a couple people who were going to vote for Bernie Sanders, but instead voted third party. They didn't vote for Trump, but
really?
They voted third party. Yeah.
Interesting. Now, here's my question. Of those people... Were any of them not in Washington State?
No, they're all in Washington. They're all people I know.
And where did Washington State go to?
Washington, like in the general?
Yeah.
Yeah, it went for Hillary.
Yeah. So, my question is this. Why are people so mad at Bernie Sanders
well,
and third parties?
It's still the you versus... Well, I mean, we could talk about... how Washington will never decide the presidency, but it's still the you versus me problem that the Democrats have. You have your Hillary people who are still blaming Bernie Sanders for Clinton losing the presidency, and you have Bernie people who are still blaming the DNC for shoving him out.
This is my new thing, though, right? That's all talking stuff, right? We're all talking about it. But I'm saying, like, net effect, right? When you take all the talking out of it just by votes and by, you know, by votes, boots on the ground, all that kind of stuff, how big of a problem was that actually? And the thing that I wrote under a different Twitter account that is now deleted... Because I freaked out. I thought for sure that they were going to go knocking door to door right away. It may still happen, but I've had time to think about it.
The Twitter account that you created after Pagu is now gone?
No. That Twitter account's still around. I'm talking about the one I created before Pagu.
Oh.
The one I had on election night.
Oh,
I was like, all right, that's it. And basically, the thing that I said leading up to the election and during the election, right, was that they don't have to convince you that more people voted for Donald Trump. They have to convince you that enough people didn't vote for Hillary Clinton and that they're all stupid and that's why she lost. Like, I thought it was going to be, I honestly thought that he was going to get more popular votes. And didn't. That's the thing, is he didn't. Yeah.
Well, that's because 3 million illegal people voted for him.
Well, this is the thing that, you know, this is where you and I differ. and I can be brought back into reality every once in a while. But I'm still of the idea that the reason that he's president is because someone in a shadowy room somewhere decided that there would be less civil unrest if he was president.
I think you're probably right. Not that there's this shadow puppet regime controlling the presidency, but that there is less civil unrest. If Hillary would have won, I believe there would be more shootings. Government people would have been shot.
Well, I think there would have been more standoffs. I don't know. Probably more people would have been shot, maybe.
We would have more cops that were shot. We would have probably had a couple of Democratic representatives shot by now. Maybe some assassination attempts on Hillary. I mean, lock her up. The chant "lock her up" was not just, you know, I think that was more also of a euphemism.
Well, see, you're going around the same lines that I was, which is basically the mindset would have been that she actually, you know, was elected president under false pretenses or stolen or, you know.
Right.
And that she's a murderer and a demon and all that kind of stuff.
Right. Like, she's the devil.
That stuff is easier to control when she's not in charge of anything, basically.
Yeah.
I still am really, I'm going to go on record again, still really interested in seeing what happens with Alex Jones. If he does stick with Trump or not. Because that has never been his MO. He's never been on the side of the authority.
How's he trending? I've not really been paying attention to him.
Oh, I don't know. Here's the thing is I liked him before he gathered, you know, the current staff that he has. You know, of whom the people are, I don't know. I don't like them personally, which colors my my ideas. I mean, he's as a person is an interesting guy too, don't get me wrong. But he is combative in a way that is I don't want to say admirable, but just professional wrestler grade, like, exciting.
He's got conviction, I'll give him that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Whereas people, I don't like the sort of smarmy, like, I'm more intelligent than you. I like the I'm louder than you style of arguing.
That's how you win sometimes.
So I don't pay as much attention. Yeah. But I'm still interested to see, you know, how this all turns out. Because I mean, the thing about somebody who has, I mean, how do I say it? It's like, okay, you have conspiracy theories about people, right?
Yeah.
And we said before, they're more like conspiracy hypotheses. People just use the wrong term. But like, let's say, for instance, that a member of the Church of Scientology was the president. Right.
Okay.
And somebody said, well, I hear that this happened, right? That he was on a boat in international waters and there was a human pyramid and he licked chocolate off of people or whatever. Right. Something weird happened somewhere when you're in a abnormal And I don't mean abnormal as in bad people. I just mean different than normal group, right? The idea that something weird happened is more plausible. People are like, oh, yeah, well, I could see that happen. You know, John, like, example, Michael Jackson sleeps in an oxygen tent. Okay, sure, right? We think he's rich, he might do that and all that.
Yeah.
Anyone who is a celebrity, anyone who is super rich, right? Or, you know, pretends to be super rich, whatever. I don't know which side of the fence you are on that. But the idea that they do weird things, more plausible, right?
Right.
So let's say that you have a mindset where you think of these conspiracy hypotheses and you talk about them on your radio show about how people are demons or aliens or the Antichrist or any of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Isn't Donald Trump one of the greatest nexuses of like celebrity wealth and politics now? How could you resist coming up with
that Venn diagram? Sure comes together nicely. Yeah.
And that's the question is, will he, you know, it's not going to take like here's the first thing I'm thinking. Let's say, does Donald Trump want respectability? You know, does he want to be able to be said to be a great man and a good thinker and stuff like that? I would say yes, probably.
Yeah.
I would say that that's something that he would like to see. Eventually, in order for that to happen, he may have to distance himself from the extremist groups that got him here. People have been saying that for a while, and so far it hasn't happened, and it may not happen.
But that's the thing. Do you think he realizes that that's something that needs to happen? Do you think he's that self-aware?
Yeah. Yes. I do think I'm one of the people on the side of he's actually smarter than people give him credit for.
Okay.
And that's just, you know, is it possible that he has, you know, his family looking out for him now and he can't be trusted with the sharp objects and all that? It's possible, you know, the Twitter thing and all that. But
it's when they put the plastic scissors in the Oval Office.
But the thing is that it's also, I talked about this before, it's professional wrestling. The idea that he has created this character of Donald Trump, right?
Uh-huh.
That's separate from himself. And again, I'm speaking now as a veteran of reality television. What's that?
I need dinner.
Betty needs dinner. Well, make yourself something. Come on, you're 11 years old. Do it.
What's there to make?
I don't know. Check it out.
That's when you get cookies and cereal for dinner.
Hell yeah, exactly. But what was I saying, Ben?
You're a veteran of the reality show.
Oh, yes. So the basic, do you want me to make some of these crispy tenders or fishless fillets, Betty?
Sure.
Okay, which one? Both or one of them?
Both.
Both? Okay. So, and one thing I can tell you is that's a survival technique and that sort of thing. You know? You basically are being a version of yourself that you're okay with being. You know what I mean?
So here's my question. That version of himself that created, the caricature that appeals
it's
to
like
the reality
armor,
show, do you think that he's bought into the narrative and so he can no longer compartmentalize the two different characters, the real, you know, intelligent Donald Trump and the billionaire Donald Trump who holds rallies in red caps?
See, okay, what I would say about that is I don't think that he necessarily has trouble separating them. I think what he might have is trouble deciding which one to use at any given time. who's he going to be? Which guy is going to serve him well? Because,
well, I think he surrounded himself with enough people who tell him who he should be.
Well, I think what he's in again, this is just my observation. I think that he's decided that he's better off, you know, with the blunt instrument more often than not. Again, you look at what's his name? Earl Morris, right? Did an interview with him about the movie Citizen Kane.
Right.
And you watch Donald Trump doing that, and he's still, you know, got a lot of his same characteristics, but he appears more thoughtful, less grandiose, less he's playing for big venues right now. And so he doesn't care about looking nuanced and things of that nature. The one thing is, though, that now that this is his public persona, he can't really break from it without it being too jarring.
Right, but that's the problem, is that being grandiose and a bully is it doesn't have a really big place in politics. You know, you do need to be nuanced and thoughtful and intelligent. Yeah. And, you know, he's holding rallies. He's holding more rallies because that's all he knows how to do. And he knows he can do it well.
And that's the thing, is that then you get into the issues of, you know, the whole not paying people, that kind of thing. You know, that's something that people have experienced with him often. And you get to the point where I'll give you this really quick example. A person from an unnamed wireless carrier, or a person saying that they represented this wireless carrier, came to my house and talking to me about this new service they were providing.
Yeah.
And I talked to them about it for a little bit and eventually decided that I wanted to do it. And they gave me price quotes and they did all this stuff, right?
Yeah.
And something seemed a little off about it, but I didn't think too much about it. And by that I mean, like, so for example, they had to call the wireless carrier to set up our service, right?
Right.
Oh, this is the day, this is the person. And the technician that they talked to, or not the technician, but the other salesperson that they talked to, said that some of the things that they quoted to us were incorrect.
Okay.
And they said to me, the salesperson that came to my door said to me, oh, this is a new person. They don't know what they're talking about. Don't worry, I'll set this up with you. It's going to be fine. Well, lo and behold, after the service was installed, I called them and they said, oh, just call the main number. Everything will be fine. Called the main number. Information I got was the same as the main person that the person who came to my door talked to had said. So they're consistent. The only person that wasn't consistent was the salesperson that came to the door.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And here's the thing. I wanted the service that they were giving. They didn't have to make false promises, but they did because that's how they're used to operating. Oh, I got to sell this guy. I got to do this and all that.
Yeah.
So it ended up making me more mad at this wireless carrier. You know, I'm keeping the service because I wanted it. Right?
Yeah.
In the same way, I guess this is what I'm getting at. Now he's president of the United States, right? He doesn't have to do all of the stuff that he's used to doing. It's a totally different, he's got a totally new set of toys to play with, totally new set of people. He could have done things in a different way, but he didn't. And that is a problem. And I think that's the biggest thing that he's dealing with, is he didn't up his game.
No. No, he's still in campaign mode.
Well, it's not just that he's still in campaign mode, but he's still in, you know, lowest common denominator.
No, it is campaign mode. He had a rally in Florida a couple weeks ago, and it was boosted as a campaign rally.
Oh, yeah, I need to just dial back what I said. I'm not disagreeing with you that he's still in campaign mode. In fact, he's already registered.
Yeah.
For 2020. Like, that's already happened, apparently, from what I read.
But you're saying that his persona hasn't leveled up.
Not just his persona, but his practices.
Yeah.
He's gonna pay for, he's gonna bring in a cheaper thing that may or may not work instead of spending the money on the good thing. He's gonna cut corners, he's gonna, you know, all that kind of stuff. Seems to be happening right now. Does that make sense? Like he's pulling in people to do these jobs for him, people in his cabinet, based on not what kind of a job they're gonna do, but more how it benefits him personally.
Yeah.
Things of that nature.
Yeah. No, it's you can almost point to everything he's doing, all of his policies, all of his appointees, and you trace it back in some way or another to benefiting him either A, during his presidency, or B, what his plans will be afterwards.
And again, the biggest thing though, look at the people that he discards. Like, again, Chris Christie is the biggest example. Where is he? What's he doing? You know, there was a time when he was going to be the number two guy.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Didn't happen. Who's that New York guy? The mayor? Giuliani. You know, where's he at?
Former mayor Giuliani. He's still a mouthpiece. You see him every once in a while on TV spouting the rhetoric.
Yeah. Well, they're all hoping that he, you know, gives him something, I guess. It seems to me like that's what happened. But again, you know, you go back to that. Oh, and Ted Cruz doing phone stuff for him. Who were all those guys? All those guys were people that ran against him.
Yeah. Well, if I'll give the Republican Party something, it's that they band together well. They at least eat crow and do what's best for party.
You compare to where they are versus where, let's say, Omarosa is, right? Who was a contestant on his reality show. Does that mean that she's not qualified to do some of this work? Maybe, maybe not. But the point is that she was working with him, I guess, on the show. They may have, you know, disagreed or whatever, but I would venture to say that she's closer to him than Chris Christie is right now.
Yeah, I don't wager to guess what her qualifications are. I've never watched the TV show. I know her name because I go on the internet every once in a while. But yeah, I have no idea what that situation is.
Well, that's the thing, is I remember watching the show and she was willing to. It was sort of a cutthroat season, sort of, if that makes sense. Like,
it was
like
the first
whole
season,
I'm not here
it?
To make friends thing. Yeah. The whole I'm not here to make friends thing. She may not have said it, but she is the reality show contestant.
The embodiment
kind
of it.
The embodiment of I'm here to win. I'm going to do this thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, in a long and short kind of way, that's the model that they're trying to get to for the American public. You know, hey, I'm doing my thing. You know, you're falling behind. That's not my fault.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. And all I can think of, I keep thinking of this. I had a friend whose wife was, had a, neuromuscular disease when I was in college. And the community there, you know, this is right when the Americans with Disability Act happened.
Okay.
For people who were against it, they had a term which was TAB. They say, "Oh, look at that TAB over there," that kind of thing. And TAB stood for temporarily able-bodied. The concept was that, okay, you're fine now.
Right.
You know, but what happens in 10 years, 30 years, 40 years?
You have no idea.
That stuck with me and has stuck with me for a while. People were like, well, why should I, you know, I'm in good health. Why should I pay for your chemotherapy? Well, it's because you want the young kid, when you have chemotherapy, to pay for your chemotherapy.
Right.
You know, that's the way, I mean.
It's how insurance works. Unions,
yeah, that's how union stuff works too. You young kids are working to pay for my pension so that young kids will pay for your pension, and we just keep on doing it. It's based off of self-interest. And that's the crazy thing about it, is that all social programs will benefit you as long as no one raids them or cuts them, or, you know, and that's where we're at right now.
Yeah, that is where we're at. Turning Medicaid into a block grant, which will put the burden on the states
to cover Medicaid. I have a hypothesis about this, by the way. What is it, Betty?
Look at this.
Betty is looking at restart required. Yeah, go ahead and restart, Betty. It's basically this. And I just got this while you and I were talking, by the way. You have a recollection, I believe, of someone saying that the Social Security would be bankrupt by the baby boomers. Do you remember that? People saying there are too many baby boomers, Social Security will be bankrupt.
Yeah, that's been a running theme throughout our generation, is that we're not going to have Social Security when we get to that age.
Yeah, and I guess isn't the bill coming due pretty soon? I mean, isn't?
I don't know. I have no idea.
I'm not trying to say that they're noble in any way, shape, or form, but is this possible? The idea of breaking the entire federal government. Are they just trying to break it and loot it before it goes bankrupt anyway? Is that a possibility? Like, this thing is going down no matter what. At least I'm going to be on top.
Yeah.
I know that. I realize that if this thing's going down, at least I'll be on top is not charitable at all as far as a motivating factor goes for anyone.
Nope.
But it is the most charitable I can think, is the most charitable way I can think of to explain what they're doing. You know, the idea, and it sounds bad that, well, I might as well make some money off of this if it's going badly anyway, is the best light you can put someone in, but that's where I'm thinking we're at right now. Why do we always talk about politics, Ben? It's me. It's me, right? Is it me or is it you? It's both of us, probably.
It's probably a combination, you know.
What else is there to
talk about? Well, there was a respite last week when you were playing the video game.
Yeah, that was nice. Oh, hey, the Matrix reboot.
Yeah, what's going on? They're rebooting the Matrix? I just heard about that today.
Yeah, and I have a suggestion for them.
Don't do it.
No. My suggestion is, well, first of all, have you seen Get Out?
I have not seen Get Out.
You should see Get Out. It's good.
I hear it's good.
So this is what I advocated today. They should give the Matrix reboot to Jordan Peele. Let Jordan Peele do the Matrix reboot. This is the reason I'm thinking about it. And it, if you see Get Out, you'll understand. But I think you can get it kind of anyway. All right. Why was The Matrix so great?
Are you asking me?
Why did it turn out to be... Yeah, yeah. And do you have any ideas why it was so good?
It was... for the time, I think it spoke to sort of an existential feeling amongst moviegoers that there's more than we see. There was great special effects for the time, groundbreaking special effects, and it was original. It was fresh.
Yes, but and you mean it might have been different by the time that you went into it, but when I went to go see it. Right? My friend Andy, who you haven't met yet. You guys should meet each other. My friend Andy and I went to it expecting it to be a dumb Keanu Reeves action film. Right? Like, oh, Keanu Reeves is shooting guns and, you know, doing all this stuff. And then it turned out to be so much more.
I had a different expectation. No, when my friends and I went to go see it, we saw it opening weekend. So the thing about The Matrix is it opened on a Wednesday. And I only know that because it opened on the same day as 10 Things I Hate About You. And so I went to go see that movie instead.
Wait, we have to stop for just a second. For the listeners who may not know this, Ben was in 10 Things I Hate About You.
So I went with a bunch of my friends to go see that movie on opening night, and I waited until like Friday or Saturday to see The Matrix. Now, I didn't go in thinking it was going to be a dumb Keanu Reeves movie because the trailers that had come out before that time made it look like a good movie, and that panned out.
Yes. The big thing that I need to point out to the folks is that I saw the 10 Things I Hate About You trailer featuring Ben before I met Ben. And the thing is that his performance in the trailer made an impression on me so that when he said that he had that line, I was like, no way. I remember that line. I turned to my friend who I was with when the trailer was playing and said, no reason to see the movie now. That's the best line in the entire film. And then you told me, and tell me if I'm wrong on this, but I believe that they actually dubbed your voice.
They did. They dubbed my voice
for the trailer.
For the trailer, yeah.
Yeah. So whoever that guy is, I'm pretty impressed with his work.
Yeah.
No, but and it was because they wanted to say. Did they have to say goats for the trailer?
I don't know. I have a theory that I've held for the last, 17 years now? That if they used my voice, they would have had to have paid me more to be in the trailer.
Yeah, I bet you're right.
They could use my likeness, but not my voice. So they had to dub me with some guy that could just, you know, some LA actor they could just pay a day rate to instead of paying me more.
That's crazy, Ben.
Either that or there's some sort of weird FCC regulation where you can't hint at sheep effing, but you can at goats. I don't get it.
See, that actually is my hypothesis. I think it's because goat is less... Because I keep on thinking about the people who talk about all the trouble they have with standards and practices.
Yeah.
Like, you can show poop, but it can't be moist. You know, that sort of thing.
You can say the F word after 10 p.m. on broadcast, but you can only say it once.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
So pick where you want it.
Is that true now, by the way?
I think it's true. Not for broadcast channels like ABC, NBC, but for basic cable channels where you did have previous like stronger FCC regulations, they've been relaxed, so you can say like on TBS and Stars, and not Stars, that's a premium channel, TBS, FX, things like that.
Hey, have you seen Patriot yet?
Nope.
Oh, you should see it. It's great. Do you have Amazon Prime?
I do.
Yeah, that's where it is.
Don't got a lot of TV watching time these days.
Both Stephen McCandless and I recommend it.
Is it a half hour or hour show? Is it like 22 minutes or 45 minutes?
It is an hour show, Ben.
So it's like
Ben,
44
the
minutes?
The show is 1 hour.
1 hour?
1 hour long. Yeah.
Exactly 1 hour? Sorry. Or do they do that weird thing where they still make it the good length to fit commercials, even though it's not on a commercial television station?
They make it, it's different hours, different times for different episodes. Which I like. That's my favorite.
No,
the episode
I like it.
Is only as long as it needs
to
be. Yeah,
make it as long as it needs to be. That's really frustrating when you watch a TV show on Netflix and it's made for Netflix, but it's 22 minutes long.
Speaking about that, the OA had one episode that was like only 43 minutes long or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't remember. Chris Isaacs, I believe his name is, or what is it? Jason Isaacs. Sorry, Chris Isaac was the
Wicked Game guy.
The Wicked Game guy. Also, the Firewalk With Me guy.
Ah.
He did a good job of that. Jason Isaacs, I think is his name. Again, we're keeping it wrong, Ben. No Google throughout this entire conversation.
Nope.
No cell phones. But I believe that's his name, is going to be playing the new Star Trek captain in the new Star Trek series.
Oh, that guy. He
yep. He was in Awake also.
He was also in the Harry Potter movies.
Yes, he was. He was Malfoy.
He played Lucius Malfoy.
The Elder Malfoy.
The Elder Malfoy.
Yes, yes.
Jason Isaac? That doesn't
Jason Isaacs.
Could
look it up. That's what
I
think.
Won't. All right, anyway.
Don't look it up, Ben.
I'm not looking
don't
it up.
Do it. I'm not looking it up. He's gonna be the new Star Trek captain. Kinda interested. Don't want to pay a subscription for CBS though. That's my only issue.
You don't want to what?
Pay a subscription
CBS.
I
didn't even know there was going to be a new Star Trek TV show. That was like the posting say, hey, this guy's gonna be the new captain. I'm like, oh, cool, in like the next movie? But no, it's a new TV show.
Now, here's the thing. The guy who did Hannibal and Pushing Daisies, one of my favorite showrunners, and whose name escapes me at the moment.
but he's your favorite.
Yeah. Yep. He's really great. He was going to be the showrunner for it. Now he's not. So I don't know who's doing it.
Uh-oh.
So I'm not as excited. I see that was something that I would have paid to watch now. Now I'm not sure. But we'll see.
Well, watch the first couple episodes, give it a chance, see if you'll like it.
Just did you end up going to Emerald City Comic Con? Did I ask you about that?
I did not go to the Emerald City
Comic Con.
No, you didn't.
That's right.
You did. And, but I asked, I asked Nicole.
And Nicole didn't.
Who was going to be working at,
yes, we did talk about
behind this. behind the Comics Dungeon booth. I told her if Vincent D'Onofrio just came up to the booth to get his autograph, and she said, I'm probably not going to do that.
It didn't happen. Ben, there are deer in my backyard.
Are there?
There are deer in my backyard, yeah. I'm going to go out and see if I can get a picture of them, but they're probably going to run away. But I'm going to give it a shot.
How many are there?
Hey, Betty. There are deer in the backyard. See, Betty's already... There are three of them. She's already just...
She's over it.
Doesn't care.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there are deer in the backyard, and she was like, oh, great. So here I go. Going out. I'm going to switch to... see, they're gone already. Oh, no, they aren't. They aren't. Okay, here we go. Oh, nope. I don't want to be time-lapse. Oh... Yeah, they took off. They took off. They're totally gone.
Ah, well. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
They'll be back, in greater numbers.
Oh, I can hear them still. Oh, well. Yeah, and then all of a sudden there's just this sound of me getting pummeled. My dear. It's possible. They will get you if you get too close to them. I love deer, though. Ben, they're like aliens. How I feel when I see a deer is like how I would feel if I saw a gray, probably.
Like if I make too loud of a noise, it'll run away into the woods?
No, just, oh, what is this non-human, crazy, you know, like incredibly thin yet strong?
It's like it's like a kangaroo, but with four legs.
Exactly. Exactly. Apparently, kangaroos.
They're nasty.
Very interesting. They'll
mess you up.
They'll get you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did I hear kangaroos described? They're like a Tyrannosaurus Rex deer.
Yeah,
which I think
exactly
is apt. Yeah.
Yeah. And also, apparently, once they get the money, they're not giving it back.
What?
Sorry, it's a kangaroo jack joke. Which apparently is a big ripoff of a TV show. I mean, of a movie. Because there's a dream sequence where the kangaroo talks.
Okay.
And they use it in the trailer. It makes you think that the kangaroo talks through the entire movie, but it doesn't. It's just in that one part.
Ah. Well, that's a ripoff.
It's true. So Betty is doing a vegan challenge.
Is this a school project?
No. I thought it was a school project, but she's just doing it for herself.
Okay.
And she messed up, she said today, and ate a cupcake.
How can you resist?
And I explained to her the way that I got around that when I was a vegan, which is, oh, and of course I'm eating vegan as well,
right,
to support her during her thing. I'm very tired, Ben, all the time. I'm doing better now. I made a recipe for orange meat, which you can find on my Twitter feed.
Orange meat.
Yeah, it's a tang and vital wheat gluten mixed together.
Oh my God.
Makes this weird, tough, chewy orange mass.
I was going to go get dinner after this, but now I'm not so sure.
Which is what I would say is probably what eating a Muppet would taste like. One of my favorite sketches from The State, the people who are eating Muppets.
Oh, right.
Great.
Yeah, that one.
Oh, man. The State is so awesome. Also, Super Ego is awesome. And two members of Super Ego and Amanda Lund, who is married to or engaged to one of the members of Super Ego that do this. They're on an episode of Hello from the Magic Tavern.
Ah, all things I never listened to.
And Matt Gourley. Yeah, you should take a listen. It's pretty cool. All right. Now, anyway, what I was going to say is, so if you're a vegan, right, you want to cause as least amount of harm to animals as possible, right?
Ideally none.
And discomfort. Human beings are animals. If someone makes you something and they don't know that you're vegan, how is throwing it in the trash going to do any good for anybody? It's not. Also, they're an animal. You're making them upset. So, you know,
yeah,
you graciously accept it, you eat it, and then you say too bad or whatever. I don't know if that works or not.
I made this
for
you.
I am reminded again of when I got off the vegan wagon. You remember this.
You've gone through a lot of dietary needs and restrictions over the course of our friendship.
But the last time that I stopped being vegan was for a Goody Lawrence sketch.
When you ate the steak.
Dinner in Hell.
Yeah.
Yep, I ate a steak.
And, that's right.
I forgot. People were like,
that was
you're going to feel awful afterwards. I can't believe you're doing it. Hey, you haven't eaten meat in how long? Oh, boy, this is going to be too bad. And I felt great the next day. Better than I'd ever felt before.
Suck it, vegans.
I was like, okay. Well, still, though. I mean, it's nice. It's nice to do, though. I do feel like, here's the thing about being a vegan that is totally true for me anyway. If something's vegan, right, I have absolutely no qualms about eating it because there's nothing in it that I'm allergic to, And yeah, I don't know, just mentally, I feel like, yeah, this is something I can eat. This is good. Whereas if it's non-vegan and I'm eating it, I don't know how good or bad it's going to make me feel. So that's the hard part. But like, you can't undercook vegan food. You know, you won't get botulism from, oh, wait. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, Ben.
Didn't get E. coli from
somebody
spinach.
Yeah, that's what I just said. I just remembered that.
Yeah.
Oh, shoot. I've been going the wrong way. Oh, no. What's going to happen?
I had a friend who's a raw food vegan, and I couldn't imagine just being against cooking. Oh,
wait,
your
who's
food.
That?
Who is it? He was a sketch comedian in Seattle. He's no longer here.
Okay. Well, I got to say that, yeah, that's even more than. I was trying that for a little bit. Didn't work out. You know why?
Why is that?
This is a true story. If you're raw food vegan and you aren't just eating regular food, if you're like making stuff, it can go bad really quickly.
Yeah.
You make yourself this cool, hip stuff and then you eat it and it tastes like tangy and it's because it's fermented in your refrigerator. So be careful, raw food vegans.
You
probably already know it though.
One last thing before we go today. Is that
well of course there's another thing.
All right, two last things before we go.
Yes.
One coming from me. I am not a vegan. I'm not a vegetarian. I love eating meat. I will admit to that. I don't think there's any shame in that. But I have a friend now who recently just got herself a pig, a cute little micro pig, and posts pictures and videos, and it's adorable, and I can't stop watching it. I am feeling a little conflicted now because I do like pork. I do love bacon, but yep. It's hard for me to square those two things away. Where I love eating bacon, but I love watching videos of this little micro pig that I think is just cute, adorable.
Well, the only thing I could say is you're not going to be eating that micro pig.
Well, I won't be eating that pig specifically. Not unless things go terribly, terribly wrong in the next couple of weeks.
Exactly. Or any micro pig, really. That's the thing, is that the way that I was able to eat chicken, I think I told you this before, was I had an actual hatred for chickens at one time. I've gotten over it now.
Oh, did you?
But yeah. So I was like, yeah, I'll eat this chicken. I'll eat these eggs. Chickens suck, because I got attacked by a chicken once.
Oh, did you? Yeah.
But
now you know what time
it is. I feel as good about it, but yeah. A little micro pig. Oh man, who could resist?
And it's got this cute natural smile.
Oh my goodness. And it seems happy. It runs around and like makes a little weak noises.
Exactly. It grunts and squeaks. It's just a great, and it itches itself on the furniture.
Now, do I know this person, Ben, at all?
Yeah. Do you know Tiffany Diamond?
Oh, Tiffany Diamond.
Yeah.
Didn't she... Let me ask you a question. Did Tiffany Diamond own a creperie at one point in time?
The exact same person.
She catered our wedding.
Oh, did she? Excellent.
Yeah. Tiffany Diamond has a micro pig.
A
tiny pig. And apparently it is the cutest.
It is the cutest.
Okay, and now, speaking of the cutest, it's time for Yelling for Betty. Hey, Betty.
I'm Ryan here.
So how's it going, Bay?
Good.
What are you eating there?
Fake meat.
Fake meat. And how is it?
Tastes just like real meat.
So let me ask you a question. Even after you're done with this vegan challenge, would you eat that fake meat again?
No, I would eat real meat.
Okay, well, there you go.
So I want to know.
The future.
I do have a question. Why is Betty doing this vegan challenge?
The future is the present.
Oh, Betty just said the future is the present. What did you say, Betty? Betty, what did you ask? Or no, Ben, what did you ask? Sorry.
I asked, why is Betty doing the vegan challenge?
Why are you doing the vegan challenge, Betty?
Because I can't.
Because she can, Ben.
Does she have friends who are doing it at school?
Ben asks, are any of your friends doing it at all?
No.
No.
Not that I know of.
All right.
Did you, where did you get the idea to do it?
YouTube.
Ah, YouTube told her to do
YouTube.
It. YouTube. All right, well.
It solves all your problems.
YouTube solves all your problems?
No, the 7-day vegan challenge.
The 7-day vegan challenge solves all your problems. Really?
Yes.
Okay, well, there you go, Ben. 7-day vegan challenge solves all your problems.
All right.
Try it out.
I will.
Why don't you?
I'll not do that because you know what? I like cupcakes and donuts a bit too much. Oh, right. And meat. Love a piece of meat.
Oh, Ben. Ben.
Paul.
You know as well as I do, Mighty O Donuts, Ben. Support them. Their donuts are great.
I haven't been back to that store since we filmed there. I don't know if we'd be welcome.
Oh, I think we would be.
There's actually
they didn't mind.
They didn't mind at all. There's a Mighty O that opened up here on Capitol Hill.
Oh wait, didn't they say that we couldn't film it there though? Also, it's not that they didn't like us, but
we talked.
Or did we just decide that they probably?
I think
wouldn't
we
want
decided.
To film it?
I think we decided it was best not to do it.
Okay.
But there's a Mighty O up here on I think it's on 12th at Madison, maybe where a High Five Pie used to be. I think now it's a Mighty O. I could be wrong about that. I'll have to go check it out. But I gotta tell you, donuts with regular fat in them taste a whole lot better than vegan donuts. I'll just say that.
Hey, Ben, can I ask you a question?
Yes, Paul.
While wandering around Capitol Hill, right?
Yeah.
Did you, by any chance, see a poster that said that it was a spell, and by reading it, you were inviting it into your consciousness?
I do not remember seeing that poster.
Okay. If you do see any weird posters like that, let me know.
All right.
It's a Twitter thing. I'm interested in this. There's an art thing happening, and it's in Seattle. I didn't know that they were in Seattle, but I found out that the people doing it are in Seattle.
All right. If I
and I think by the people, it may just be one person. But
if
still,
if
anyway,
I
look
see
around.
If I see one of these posters, I'll take a photo of it, and we'll talk about it next week. On the Goody Lawrence podcast.
The Goody Lawrence podcast.
All right,
Ben. Keep it wrong,
keep,
buddy.
Keep it wrong, Paul.
All right.
Take
thanks,
care.
Ben.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye.